Conversations that hit harder than a 240-pound linebacker. It's Sideline Sanity.
You know, we're in the middle of Pride Month. If you're proud, you don't have to run around screaming how proud you are. When you meet a proud person, they're not telling you that they're proud. You know it. Pride is earned. It reverberates outside of you. People that have to scream about how proud they are all the time, it's like, I'm not so sure that's really what's going on there.
Stream the Sideline Sanity podcast at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this last day of October. That's right, October 31st, 2022. And tonight, boy, do we have a lot to cover tonight. And we have executing his duties professionally and faithfully, none other than on our board, Courageous Craig.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Out there, just back from trick-or-treating, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, back from trick-or-treating. We haven't seen a trick-or-treating out here since I moved in. There's about 2 miles of dirt with occasional pieces of gravel road and two houses on it.
We haven't had one here in probably 20 years.
And pretty close to here.
Yeah.
Halloween is a non-holiday holiday.
Yeah, you're right. We used to go into the city and hand out gospel tracts on Halloween. We'd go down there and hand out, go up to the doors and hand them out with gospel tracts, and they were taking them, and they were tracts on Halloween. Anyhow,
oh, good.
We have a whole lot of stuff to cover tonight. You ready to roll? Okay.
I'm ready to roll. There are more big, important stuff. It just seems like it's coming harder and faster.
Yep, that's exactly what it says it would be in Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, huh?
4, exactly.
Yep.
God doesn't get it wrong, does he?
No, he gets it right every time. That's why he's called immutable, our immutable God, huh?
God, exactly.
So, do you remember the title of the message was?
God has chosen their delusion.
Boy, did he. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Let's do it this way. Verses 1 through 5, we'll read a verse and pause. Read a verse and pause, okay?
All right.
Go ahead and read verse 1.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye builded unto me, and where is the place of my rest?
He's making a point here, and the point is that no human structure could house God. Because it takes the entire universe to house God, huh?
Well, if the earth is his footstool, then if they've built him a house on earth, it's kind of microscopically small compared to the power of God. That's what he's saying.
Right? He says, for all those things hath my hand made, for all these things have been saith the Lord. In other words, God says that he created, he was the creator of the all of the universe, huh?
Exactly. But, everything on heaven and earth and anywhere else that exists.
Yep. But.
But then he said, yeah.
Go ahead.
But,
go ahead.
That word but, right?
Yep.
To this man will I speak, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
So here, you know, you have kind of a profound reverence there. What he is saying is that God, okay, will, he'll show mercy, and God will show favor to the poor and the humble, huh?
That's what he's saying. The contrite spirit.
Yep.
Is a kind of an unusual phrase, but it means one that's open to what? Following God.
Well, then it gets into
an obeying spirit, isn't it?
Yep. So then it gets into these next verses here, and this is very confusing for a lot of people. But what he's saying is that here, the sacrifice of the arrogant, were really only external compliances, really, with his word. In other words, they're going through the motions out there, offering up their sacrifices, but God's looking in their heart. He's listening to what they're thinking. So they're doing it, going through the motions, but, well, go ahead and read verse 3.
He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abomination.
Okay, so go back to he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. Now, the killeth the ox was to what? To sacrifice
to forgive. Well, they sacrificed an ox to prepare the high priest to sacrifice a lamb or a goat for the entire nation of Israel, but it took the blood of the ox or the large animal to cleanse the high priest.
Now, he says, as if he slew a man. Now, remember when God gave us the divine human government, the divine institution of human government, there was
The image of God.
Point number three, the entire purpose of human government was to preserve the image of God. So God kept dominion. In other words, God kept dominion over man, and he's telling him that in their heart, when they're killing his ox, in their heart, they'd rather be killing a man, huh?
Well, they're people they hate, the people they want to get rid of, that's in their way, all kinds of justifications. People carry a great many sins in their heart, don't they?
Yep. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. What do you think that's all about?
A dog was one of the lowest forms, and I think it was a sodomite in the temple were referred to dogs, but a dog was the lowest thing. So
dogs were despised in the Middle East. They were despised there. And so here,
Jesus was the Lamb of God.
Yep.
And the people were to sacrifice a perfect lamb, and they're doing it like it was just some mangy old dog. They weren't thinking much about the sacrifice. It was, they just did it, and they resented it, and were probably angry at God for making them do it in the first place.
So then you would have an application there where, when it refers to the lamb was supposed to be a type of Christ, mm-hmm. and here now,
something precious,
right? And but now, here he's talking about a dog's neck. Now, you're right, it had the two applications, a very despised creature, plus also the reference for the homosexuals, who referred to as dogs, huh?
Right.
Is there something wrong with the idea that here in God's word, that sin of sodomy was so abhorrent that homosexuals were compared to dogs, despised beings, okay? And that in our society today, on the left, those on the left in the media, they not only want to portray sodomites, LGBT, as acceptable, but for, but preferable for children. They're,
right. They're trying to raise it above. We must not only accept it, we must be glad of it. We must appreciate it. We must want to watch the drag queens dance, and we must be want to be a part of it.
What would you guess? What portion or percentage of the population in America today are biblically literate enough to even begin to comprehend what we're saying here, that to understand the reality? Because so many people are so vastly biblically illiterate, they are absolutely clueless. If you tell them, did you know that in the Bible, homosexuals are referred to dogs to look at you with a totally lost look in their
headlight? I think it's sure not even a double-digit number. Less than a double-digit number.
Okay, so let's go on. He says this, and that offered an oblation as if it were swine's blood. Swine's blood. Okay, now, what was it about swine's?
To be offered to God, because they were to stay away from the pig, right? They were not to eat it. They were not to sacrifice it. They were to have nothing to do with it.
So, what was the ultimate degradation if you had, in other words, where it came to offering up and defiling, having a defilement on an altar within, say, if you go into the temple or whatever and you wanted to defile it, what would be
blood would be about the best thing you could do.
Well, actually,
or dog's blood or something.
Yeah, no. You'd have to go, actually, it would be a female swine. A female swine would be... Was considered the ultimate the defilement on the altar. And so, and you notice that Peter talks about that. And when he refers to a sow, returns to...
Is it a male swine that thought of himself as female?
Well, both of them are bad. Both of them. Remember when a Barack abomination, when his coronation... In D.C., do you remember what the sodomites did?
No.
They rented a hotel.
That's right, and we had the pigs in there, the female pigs.
The sows. Fine. They brought in sows. They were going to bring in sows and have sex with sows. Okay, that was the ultimate to offer up for Obama, okay? Basically, a sacrifice for Obama. The sodomites, look what you had here. You had dogs having sex with sows. And what does Peter talk about? He refers to a dog returns to its vomit and a sow to her mire.
Both return to the worst possible thing that they can be.
But the vast majority of people would be totally clueless to what we're saying, huh?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you this, okay. What is the Bible always right, even if you disagree with it? Let's just say there are people out there listening and say, well, I hear what they're saying, but I disagree with that. Who's right?
God is right.
So the word of God doesn't stutter.
He said his word is eternal. It never changes. And God cannot make a mistake. So I would go with God's word over what somebody thinks or feels or wants.
So if they say, you know, I heard what he says, but I don't really want to believe that, who are they fooling?
Themselves.
All right, let's go on. Now, he says, as offered swine's blood, he burneth incense as he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Here you go. This is it, Joe. I also will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Now, here, God has chosen their delusion and some delusions that they have today. Let's take a look at a few. In fact, we should just list these things all week long, really. But here. What is the number one issue on the Democratic Communist Party? What is their number one issue?
It's abortion, killing innocent babies in the womb, the shedding of innocent blood, and, of course, destroying the image of God. All happened with the word abortion, murder.
So they're talking about the number one important thing to them is killing of children, killing of children.
Right.
So now, what if you go to United Church of Christ, one of these apostate churches that embrace sin, and they tell you that there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, like the Al Sharpton, the apostate Al Sharpton is an apostate antichrist, where he said that the Bible condones killing babies. The Bible condones abortion. Al Sharpton is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in Al Sharpton.
I remember that.
And God's Word, the Bible, says that, doesn't it? It says that because Al says that God condones killing babies. And so,
I don't know what Bible he's read, but it sure is not in the King James Bible.
No. So the Democratic Party, as their number one issue, who they are, is about killing innocent children, killing innocent children.
Who are made in the image of God. So they're destroying the image of God, his very creation. And Jesus said the children belong to him until they're the age to where they can decide for themselves whether to accept Christ or reject him. They are covered. They're his. And that's why I can handle abortion, because a child that's aborted is going to go to heaven and be in the arms of Jesus. It's the thing that keeps me sane.
All right. Do you remember some years ago there was a pastor called Brother Stair? He was on the radio, Brother Stair. Him and I had a major, major disagreement. I understand he's still on the radio out there. Somebody said they heard him, or maybe it's just repeats.
Well, but don't recall.
Well, he had that compound there in North Carolina someplace. And our major disagreement was that he was saying that babies that were aborted went to hell. That babies that were aborted went to hell. Is there anything in God's Word in any way, shape, or form that even begins to hint at such a thing?
No, not even a hint, not even something you could take and maybe look at it wrongly. No, nothing.
On the other hand, did the Lord Jesus say their angels were before the Father continuously?
Yes.
Okay, and so here now, when you talk about that,
it doesn't sound like hell, right?
Right. And so, but this is the time that the world that we're living in today, we're in this is a wicked world, a very, very wicked world. Now, here, when we take a look at the illusions that these people have, the Democratic Party today believe that the majority of American women, the majority of American women feel that killing a child is their constitutional right. Do you believe that, Joe?
No, there's no constitutional right for the murder of any human being in our Constitution. The first right we have is the right to life, and that would include the right to life no matter where the life is. Location has nothing to do with life. It has to do with the beating of heart. God creates life, and it happens at conception, and if you take a life at any time, it's murder if you take it against a defenseless life.
So would you believe, would say then that
a day old embryo or a 110-year-old man?
So would you say then that God sent them a delusion, that they have a strong delusion?
Yes. Well, it even goes, we're going to go to it later, but in Romans 2, they talk about they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's just like there in verse 3.
That's actually the last verse. That's actually the last verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 32. He says, and now this other delusion is that they're can continue, that they have a delusion that they can continue to propagandize the American people with their anti-Christ, insane narratives, such as LGBTQ. There was a Baptist preacher that just came out and said that that stands for let God burn them quickly, or critical race theory, that that they can promote and promote this critical race theory that all white people are racist, or this whole transgender, that transgender is a normality, okay? Or
it's a child's right to mutilate their body and decide what sex, because there's only two sex, male and female, and whichever sex you are. If you're male, you're male in every cell in your body, and you cannot change the makeup of your cell. And you can mutilate and do all kinds of things, but you cannot change your cells.
So their theory that of Common Core, or this whole trans-species thing,
yes,
where...
That's even nuttier.
Well, you live on a farm out there. Have you, do you have any furries there?
Nope, we don't have any furries here.
Well, yeah, I mean, none of your grandchildren are furries, are they? Because furries are little children who think they're a kitten or a squirrel or a puppy, and in a public fool system, they'll put litter boxes in the closets with them and let them go in there and pretend that they're little animals.
Not too many farm kids, I think, are ever going to become furries. They're too grounded in the little reality.
Okay, so here, what about well, of course, that's the trans species, but what about the earth worship and those that want to worship the earth and worship this whole... Are people really buying into this whole global warming thing?
I've met some that really have bought into it, but they still think of the earth goddess Gaia. They don't realize it's a fake religion. They're worshiping Mother Earth, not Father God. And they are worshiping the creation, not the creator who made the heavens and the earth.
When
and it's really blindness, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
blindness.
Out through history, we've had many of these so-called tyrants, world leaders, dictators, and that have repeated, and Hitler repeated it, and so did Stalin, that a lie told long enough and loud enough becomes the truth.
But people will start to believe it.
So these people, those people on NBC, ABC, CBS, they tell these repetitious lies over and over again, and they actually start believing this stuff, right?
Well, it starts in the public school system. I remember way back the German school model. The idea of school was to raise up a child so that it would believe the state, and no matter what evidence, the Prussian school actually, what evidence, whatever truth was presented, that child would believe the state rather than the truth. That was the whole purpose of education, to raise them to believe in what the state taught them as absolute truth. And that's what we're using the public...
Well, now Karl Marx taught that you must, to be able to control the people, a couple of things which you have to do. To control their future, you have to control their past. You got to tear down all the statues, and you got to destroy their history, okay? Then he also taught that... You have to, in order to control people, you have to keep them unsure, afraid, off balance, and confused. And so the idea was, now these people start out, some of these liberals don't actually believe any of this foolishness they're starting, but they come out like racist airplanes and racist bridges and things. They bring this up because what they're supposed to do is you're supposed to hear this, get shocked, and think, wait a minute, these people are dangerous. I better not fool with them. I better just kind of pretend like I'm agreeing with them because they're lunatics, and I don't want to cross them because there's no telling what these crazy people see. No, their idea is that this is what their goal is supposed to do, to try to intimidate people to fall in line, but they actually start believing their own rhetoric, and they become...
Scripture says, deceiving and being deceived. I think to be a great liar, you have to first deceive yourself.
All righty, we're going to be back after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. In the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and might. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
All right, no king but King Jesus, and it's certainly not Obama Biden, that's for sure. All right. Okay, we're back. Okay, guess what? Tomorrow, November 1st, the great, for you folks in Northeast Ohio, this is just for the folks in Northeast Ohio, the Geauga County Tea Party is having its Liberty and Freedom for All meeting, and that is tomorrow at the Metzenbaum Center at 8200 Cedar Road, in Chesterland, Ohio, at 6:30. Now, my guests that were here with me last week, Dr. Myron Shibley, professor who will be talking about Marxism and communism, and Dane Davis, that economist and metals commodities expert, will be discussing an update on the economy and supply chain inflation, which he does a very, very good job. I'm really impressed for a young man with the, and his age is well... informed as he is. He is really well informed. So that's tomorrow. And I'm always there tomorrow. And Lord's willing, tomorrow we're going to have, as our guest, Joe, between you, a very lovely young woman named Christine Rogner as our guest tomorrow night on a radio program. So,
well, anything that helps us, makes us look good, I'm all for.
Yeah, I mean, we can't deny we're handsome, right? We got some articles we got to go through. Joe, listen, Archbishop warns Catholics Biden is in conflict with church teachings. That's right. Well, there's another one out there, and this one here is Archbishop Charles Chapot of the Archbishop of Philadelphia, the Archdiocese, stated that Joe Biden is not in communion with the Catholic faith due to his abortion activism, and that any priest who now provides communion for Biden participates in hypocrisy. Well, he is absolutely right. So here, now there's another priest out there, and that's Frank Pavone. I know him, Frank Pavone.
Right, we know him.
And so he's also calling Biden out. He's also calling Biden out. But did you know, Joe, I've been saying all week long, what if the pastors had the courage? What if the pastors had the courage to call out Biden? Now, I call out Joe Biden. You call out Joe Biden. John McTernan calls out Joe Biden. A number of the pastors, Butch Paul and pastors were associated, but they're all Baptists. They're all Baptists. But they call out Joe Biden. But what if the other pastors, what if Franklin Graham, what if Charles Stanley, what if John MacArthur, what if all of these had the courage to do like the prophets of old did, to call out Joe Biden? Do you think if they were all calling him out, Joe Biden might duck for cover?
Yeah, considering there's something like 320,000-330,000 pastors, that would raise, it'd be hard to imagine the power of 300,000 men of God raising their voices, pointing a finger and condemning sin.
I had a lady ask me, she said, Pastor, she says, I know that, I believe it's in the Bible, but where are there examples in the Bible of pastors, prophets, and that calling out wicked people? Well, if you ask most people, the first thing that comes to their mind is John the Baptist calling out Herod.
Right.
But did Moses call out Pharaoh?
He did.
Did Nathan call out David?
Certainly did.
Did Elijah call out Ahab and Jezebel?
Boy, did he.
Did Samuel call out Saul?
Told him exactly what God thought of him.
Did Micaiah, the prophet Micaiah, call out Ahab?
He did also, yes.
Did Jesus himself call out the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus?
He slapped that boy upside the head.
Did Peter call out Simon the sorcerer?
Yes.
Did Peter call out Ananias and Sapphias?
He definitely did, and then the Holy Spirit did the rest, right?
Did Stephen call out the entire Sanhedrin?
Yeah, he paid for it with his life.
Did not Jesus call out all the scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers in Matthew 23?
Yeah, he even called them some bad names, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on. So,
and when he chased the money changers out of the temple with a whip, he said a few choice words to them as he chased them out.
Now, if you and I know all of these things, I mean, we know all these things, why is it seems like so few people understand that out there? You think it's probably because it's not being taught by the vast majority
of the... Too many churches keep doing the same old salvation things and the same old Bible studies, and they don't want to get involved in things. It's like they run from anything that sounds like politics because it might offend somebody, that people would not put money in the collection plate. And it's avoidance of conflict, but it's also avoidance of doing what we were first told, and that's preach the gospel to what? The entire world. The gospel once delivered to the saints, not the watered-down version, not the politically incorrect version, but what Jesus Christ told us to preach.
So if I was to say to you, if somebody asked me, why aren't the pastors preaching? Why aren't they preaching the way they should? Why aren't they preaching the whole gospel? And I would say, well, it's because there's a lack of courage. But what brings on the lack of courage? Revelation 21, verse 8, it says what? The unbelieving and the what? Fearful. So everywhere you see you see unbelieving, you see fearful, and every word of the fearful. Now, so does that tell you that the vast majority of those in the pulpits today are not even saved?
I'm positive of it. I've also remember, I'll never forget when I saw, this was years ago, that George Barna survey. And it was, he surveyed thousands of pastors. And he said, the 49% of the pastors surveyed did not believe two or more of the five basic tenets of the Christian faith. That means they are unsaved. Almost half, or that was pretty much half the pastors were unsaved.
So how would you know, you know, if a pastor is saved?
Well, if he's bold. Scripture said this, you know, you're out there to be bold as a lion. You'd be preaching the gospel once delivered to the saints, in season, out of season.
Okay, so let me go back to this.
You can pretty much bet he's saved.
Yep. If he is saved, the world's not going to like him, are they?
No, he's probably not going to have a big mega church with, you know, making lots of money, because if you preach the truth, the real gospel, you're never going to be rich and famous. But like we tell people, the retirement plan is out of this world.
Yeah, for those that are saved. Okay, here you go. Archbishop warns Catholic Biden is in conflict with church teachings. This is an article by Bettina DeFore out of Life Action News. According to the Catholic agency, CNA, Archbishop Charles Chaput of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia recently stated that Joe Biden is not communing with the Catholic Church due to his abortion activism, and that any priest who now provides communion to the president participates in hypocrisy. He goes on to say, the teaching of the Catholic Churches, of which Biden claims to be a practicing and faithful member, is and always has been that every life is valuable and worthy of protection from the moment of conception, fertilization, and that every abortion is a grave for moral evil. Somebody better tell the Pope that, huh?
I think they're all afraid to tell him what needs to be told, but somebody should have the courage.
He goes on to say, however, Biden has promoted abortion at every turn since the moment he took office. And Joe Biden, now here is the truth. He's an evil man. He's a wicked man. Now, the Bible is filled with examples that if you vote for a wicked man, it's a sin. It's a sin to vote for a wicked man. Now, if people hear us on this radio, what we're saying, God's Word in the Bible clearly teaches in numerous places in the Bible that it's a sin to vote for a wicked man. Joe, turn in your Bible to Psalm 12 and read me the very last verse, verse 8. Psalm 12, verse 8. But you see here, so if they listen to this and we tell you that the Bible teaches clearly that it's a sin to vote for a wicked person. Now, I know you say, well, you keep repeating that. Well, it's true, because you see, you need to hear that over and over, because listen, God does not change his standards. He doesn't care if you say, well, the majority of people are going to vote for this wicked person. God, when he tells you, his word does not change. His word does not change. The meaning does not change. He doesn't rule by popular.
No, yeah, he doesn't take polls. He doesn't stick his finger and see which way the wind blows. Psalm 12, verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
So how do you exalt somebody?
You lift them up, you vote for them, you support them, you encourage them, you fund them, donate money.
All right, you're right.
Ways to exalt. Plus, Scripture said if the leader is, I can't remember the exact quote, but if a leader is a liar, tells lies, then all his subordinates under him are wicked, because they support and condone the lies, and they exalt the evil one, so goes right along with that verse, the wicked walk on every side.
And Proverbs 24 says that you should be accursed if you vote for the wicked. You should be accursed. You should be accursed. Have a curse put on you. Or it also says the same thing if you go over to Proverbs 17, verse 15, huh? So
Proverbs 17, verse 15. 1 second, I'm almost there. 17, verse 15, it says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord."
Now let me ask you a question. By voting for a wicked person, do you not do two things? Do you not justify the wicked, and do you not condemn the just?
Yeah, you're condemning all those babies to their death, and you're also some of the other policies that the wicked rulers do bring about death.
You end up with spiritual, a bunch of
physical.
You end up with a bunch of political prisoners being mistreated there in the D.C., dirty D.C. jail, okay, put in there by very extremely corrupt people, extremely corrupt people, huh?
You have children butchered and their bodies mutilated in the name of transgenderism, of helping the children become who they really are, and they become sterile for life, and most of them are turned to have a horrible life. Many of them commit suicide. Many of them want to transition back and can't. That's child abuse to what I would call mayhem. Remember, isn't that the word when they chop and mutilate, mayhem?
Yep. All right, we're going to switch gears here for a minute. Huge breaking. Democratic blows whistle on widespread Orlando area harvesting operation in black communities. And for many Americans, the Denise D'Souza 2000 Mules movie, based on investigation work by True the Vote founder, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, tracked thousands and thousands of ballots of mules across the several key swing states in 2020 using geofencing tracing data. It was eye-opener. 100% fed-up reports, without naming names, over the fear of being sued. Greg Phillips has recently stated that the stash houses that they've identified, they were all used ballot harvesters to make their mule operations possible, were all funded by left-wing NGOs, non-government organizations. During the testimony in front of the AZ Senate, the Arizona Senate, on June 2nd, Engelbrecht and Phillips released a bombshell video featuring investigator Greg Phillips and a whistleblower in Yuma County, Arizona, who revealed how the elections were stolen in her community. In the video, an unidentified female whistleblower outlines how elections are determined by a group of criminals who inflict fear upon their community. She explains how they use fear and intimidation tactics to coerce individuals to vote a certain way, and how they have ruined the lives of individuals and their families who dare run for elected office in their community. Because where you live, you can't have a voice. And if you stand up or if you want to run against them, you'll be shot, the whistleblower reveals. Now, ever since the Democratic 2000 Mules American have been frustrated over the lack of details or arrests related to the people or organizations behind these vote-stealing operations. Now here's a follow-up to this, Joe, which just recently happened now, because Judge Jails, he judged the 2000 Males investigator, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips. That's right.
They were arrested today.
Yep. U.S. Marshals in Houston, Texas, on Monday arrested the True the Vote founder, Catherine Engelbrecht, and board member Greg Phillips for the contempt of court and defamation case against them after they refused a federal judge's order to release the name of the confidential sources. Do you want to finish that?
These are real. I want to add something. These are real journalists, and a real journalist, if they tell a source it's going to be confidential, they will not give that name to authorities, to anyone. And that's why they're sitting in jail, because they refuse to turn over a confidential source that helped them ferret out all this wrongdoing in the voting. And there was basically, there's a lawsuit by Eugene Yu, who is the CEO of the election software company based here in Michigan called Konik. And Yu has been alleging that Through the Vote made these baseless, racist accusations that forced him and his family to flee their home in fear for their lives. And
he took off. He was just in jail. He was jailed for a while. He's out now.
Because he was sending information to China.
To China. That's right.
All this election data that he took and stole, and it was stored on servers based not in the United States, but all this election data and election worker data was on servers that were actually inside communist China. And that's what Engelbrecht and Phillips, you know, said what he did, and he's doing the old liberal thing. Oh, they called me a racist. No, they called you a crook. They called you, working with the Chinese government against Americans, and they, called him a criminal. They didn't say anything about his race, about his morals and, what's the other word, his patriotism.
Well, what was happening was the Communist Chinese Party was working hand-in-hand with the Democratic Communist Party here, what they call Democrats, with the Biden crime cartel and that they own. They own him. The Chinese own the Biden crime family. But anyhow, they were working hand-in-hand to...
Let me put this out. People may not know, but Hunter Biden had a secretary. Her name was Jia Qiai. Jackie Boa, her Chinese name, they just called her Jackie. And she was a very, very good-looking young Chinese girl. And basically, she was heading up the Biden family's businesses with China and handled most of the day-to-day business dealings. And she had direct ties to the Chinese Communist Party through the CEFC, the China Energy Company that Biden, Hunter Biden made the big deal with for the, they were trying to create a $1.5 billion investment company. So here he's working with a Chinese, what I would call a Chinese honeypot, and she's running his business for him, and she's got all these ties and friends and former, she used to work for the Chinese Communist Party. So the evidence is so overwhelming. There's probably about a 4 or 5 page story that you'd be bored in the details, but basically this is what it is. She was working for the Chinese government, and she came out and said that she was making sure to protect the Chinese interests. She had an actual quote. Her major job was protecting Chinese interests.
Absolutely. And so here now, after Eugene Hu, who heads up the election software company Konik, was charged, Los Angeles County Prosecutor Eric Neff alleged the amount of data involved in the breach was astounding, adding that's probably the largest data breach in the entire history of the United States. Now, the Democrats, they're scared to death. We sent out over 300 mules. Now, what happened, and many of you folks out there had ordered, you sent in and you asked for a mule, and what happened was we didn't get it. We had ordered them. They were supposed to be arriving, and then we got a call at the last minute saying, sorry, but they got an injunction against us, and we can't ship any more out. And so now
those of us that got them, like I did, I showed it. Then I gave it to other people who showed it to other churches, other groups, and it was passed on to anybody who would show it to a large group of people. And the last I heard, it's still going to another church in another county nearby, and people are still seeing it each and every week. New people watch it. So
those now here's the thing,
there, Pastor.
Here's the thing. I don't know. Look. They say, well, they're going to keep the injunction on until at least after the midterm election. But look, Joe, in 2 years, there's another election. And so if we get the injunction off of it, we'll get it, and we do get our delivery, we'll finally come in. if we can get them, we'll keep sending them out, you know, and prepare for the next election. We have to keep the look. You know, we get the election. What happens, people will say, like when Trump was elected, they sat back on their laurels saying, oh, well, we're in. We got President Trump. We don't have to worry. No.
No.
That's the worst thing you can do. And now what we have to do is, you know, once we get the House back, it's eternal vigilance, eternal vigilance, eternal vigilance. We got to keep going after the opposition like they've been a creeping, crawling death, invading, infiltrating us. We've got to infiltrate them. We've got to eliminate and bring this nation back to one nation.
We just need to break up their systems like this L.A. prosecutor, this Eric Neff, said these Chinese contractors worked for Connick. When he was, you know, screaming racism, and had direct control over all the U.S. election data through an app for poll workers called Poll Chief, and these Chinese contractors were working with this Poll Chief software, had what they call super administration privilege. Now, to the uninitiated, what that means is a person with super administration access to any system out there can effectively do anything inside that system they want. They can, he or she can add data, steal data, alter data, change programming. In other words, you are like the king if you have that super administration tag. You can do anything you want with it. And that's what they did, and they sent it all over to a computer in communist China with all our poll worker, all this information on it. And this is what the Democrats do, folks. They work with these. They've been supporting China. They have been selling us out, the Biden family, the Democrats, a lot of our Silicon Valley, these rich billionaires are making a fortune by selling you, the American citizen, your information, your freedom, your data to the communist Chinese.
Okay,
and
Joe.
Getting wealthy while you're being, your country's being destroyed.
Well, not only that, China is using real estate now, the real estate industry to, you know, to increase their espionage and subversion against, you know, the whole United States. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to ask the people out there, all the folks out there listening, it's very, very important, folks, believe me. If you only understood that there is power in prayer, if you only could really believe that, see, if you could really believe it, because God's word doesn't stutter, and it makes it very clear when he tells you to call upon him. And by the way, did you know your prayers are kept? They're kept in heaven. And so we're coming up to a break, and after the break, we're going to go to prayer. We're going to ask the folks out there, all of them out there, to join us. And I'm going to pray that they will release Catherine and Greg Phillips, and that they would come against, they would remove Judge Kenneth Hoyt, that we would remove Federal Judge Kenneth Hoyt, you know, from office for doing what he did, for because they've got that is their right. They do not have to, you don't see any of these others in the secular world giving up their sources. Okay, look what the FBI did. What a horrible illegal activities they did. And so we're going to ask the people to join with us. Those of you that believe in prayer, those that you that are saved, if you're the real thing, if you're really any kind of a Christian at all, we're asking you to join with us and pray, because we need justice. And if we're going to get justice here, the church in this country, we're going to have to provide it for ourselves through the power of the Lord. We'll be back after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The southern border is wide open, and we have to tell the world about it. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working over the last year to have a one-of-a-kind documentary all about the drugs, the guns, the crime, the criminals that are flowing across the southern border. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working so hard on this through amazing frontline footage that shows the Border Patrol agents, shows people crossing the border, the illegal drug trade, the economic and societal fallout that illegal immigration has on the United States. Every single state is a border state. And we here being headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, want the rest of the country, want you all across America to see what we are living through in Arizona. It's a one-of-a-kind docuseries available exclusively on SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. You guys will see the porous southern border wide open and what we can do to solve it. If you want to learn about the border, this is your opportunity. Brought to you by Turning Point USA, available at SalemNow.com.